things I have no frame of reference for. This scripture says he'll reveal them to you. Can I get a volunteer? We're going to do something really silly. Anybody like to do silly things? All right, this guy raised his hand first. I'm going to take him. All right, come on up here. Let's see, Mike, I'm going to get you to help me. Mike is going to be the Holy Spirit. Mike's not listening to me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
he's Mike's just carrying on his own
what do you
conversation.
Need?
That's all right. Mike's going to come be the Holy Spirit. It's a big stretch of the imagination. It's a huge stretch of the imagination. Mike's going to be the Holy Spirit. Mike, I need you to borrow that jacket right back there, that brown jacket. I don't know whose it is, but I've just absconded it for my purposes. And what's your name?
Danny.
Danny. Go back there to the back, Danny. Put that. I need you to put the jacket over his head, spin him around until he gets really confused, and move him somewhere else in the room, okay? And then I'll tell you what to do with him after that. But just make sure that he can't see anything the whole time you're doing it. And get him, you know, spin him around enough to get him really confused.
Close your eyes.
Now he's going to suffocate him. Don't kill him. Oh. We don't want to have to raise him from the dead. Okay, that's good enough, I think. All right.
It's all right. I won't let you run into anything.
All right, now just, actually, he's pretty drunk. You stay right there for a minute. I'm gonna move. You stay right there for a minute. So I have something. What was your name, Danny? I've prepared something for Danny. How many of you, don't say what it is, how many of you want what I have prepared for Danny? I can't see your hand, so say it real loud. Come on. So I have prepared something beforehand for Danny, but Danny needs a revelation. What Danny cannot see is impeding him from getting what has been prepared. So Mike is going to be the Holy Spirit. On the count of three, you're going to be all the voices in life that try to distract us from getting where God wants us to be in the right position to get the revelation that we need. So, Danny, I hope you know Mike's voice, because Mike is going to talk to you. He's going to gently nudge you. He's not going to pull you. He's not going to push you. But he's just going to help you get where you need to be on the count of three. And you guys try to distract him. Try to make it so loud that he cannot hear Mike's voice. You ready? One, two, three, go. So 1 Corinthians said that God has revealed them by His Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's going to give Danny a revelation by taking off what he is blinding him at the moment. So go ahead, Holy Spirit. There you go.
Revelation.
There you go. Give him a hand. So,
oh, that's great.
Danny, let me ask you a couple of questions. You go back to your seat, but let me ask you a couple of questions. So first of all, when you woke up this morning, did you think, I'm going to come to church tonight and the preacher from Texas is going to give me $20?
Nope.
Never thought of it.
No.
Never entered your mind.
Nope.
You had no thoughts whatsoever on your way here that was going to happen. Nope. That's life with Jesus. He has things you've never thought of. Things that have never crossed your mind. I get amazed at the people that say, well, God's never done this, or I've never seen that, or nobody's ever showed me this thing. Listen, don't let your destiny be dictated by everyone else's history. God has things you have no frame of reference for. Every day you need to wake up like an Easter egg hunt. And say, what do you have for me today? Holy Spirit, what's in the heart of the Father today? Because God prepared them. See, I planned on it. I had it arranged. I had it prepared, but then I hid it. But I didn't hide it from Him. I hid it for Him. Your prophetic destiny is not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter says that your inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, unfading, and it's reserved in heaven for you. We're coming up on Easter, and at Easter we hide eggs for the kids. And you've probably seen little kids that get frustrated when they can't find them. They throw themselves down and have an absolute fit. They just get, some kids just melt down because they can't find the eggs. And they think it's so unfair. They're missing the point of the game. They weren't hidden from them. They were hidden for them to find. And God's hidden your destiny, and He wants to go on a journey with you. Not so that you are left alone, but so that you can find those things. So the first thing you need, I'm going to give you three words tonight. We'll be out of here. First thing you need is a revelation. Everybody say revelation.
Revelation.
God wants you to live in revelation. He wants you to live looking for those things. He wants to reveal them to you. He wants to go on that journey with you. He prepares them and He hides them on purpose. My grandmother could cook some pies. I mean, she would make throw down homemade chocolate pies, and she knew that they were my favorite. So at Thanksgiving, she'd make a bunch of pies, but she'd make one just for me, and she'd hide it. And she wouldn't let anybody else have my pie. And it was hit. I knew when I came, everybody else was eating pie. And they were fighting over who's going to get the last piece. But I knew I had more coming. He said, don't ever think God's got a shortage. He's got, if you see somebody else eating pie, there's more pie. God's got one. And He's been baking it and cooking it, preparing it and getting it ready. God prepares them for you. The second word I want to give you is, first they have to be revealed. Number two, they have to be received. Everybody say received.
Received.
You got to learn to receive the things that God has for you. I had prepared something He had never thought of. It begins to come time for Him to get it. He's in position. He's right there. He's ready. But then it got revealed, but then He still had to receive it. I've done this all over the world with people of all ages. I've done it with people from 80 years old down to people who are 8 years old and everywhere in between. And the responses are always so different. Some people just reach. I had one kid reach out, grab it, and run. I had another one tell his mom, I don't have to give it back while I'm preaching. Because evidently she had told him, you got to give that back. And he started screaming, no, I don't have to give it back. But like Danny, he looked at it and he didn't know, am I supposed to take it? Am I not supposed to take it? Then he said, I feel bad. Not picking on him, but that was a great example how most of us think what God has offered us is too good to be true. And we think, I feel bad that God blessed me. I feel bad that things are going right in my life when they're going so wrong in somebody else's. But listen, God wants to give you great stuff. One of the things in receiving it, though, before He can actually reach out and take it, which there's something I want people to get tonight about that when God puts something great in front of you, tonight, if you get a prophetic word, or you go home and God starts speaking to you, when God starts speaking over your life, or you read something in the Bible and God speaks to you and you realize, hey, I believe that God wants me to do this. If the enemy tries to talk you out of it, by faith, just reach out and take it. Don't be afraid to take the promises of God. But another interesting thing about receiving it, before He could actually possess it or take it, He had to get in position to receive it. I prepared it, But he actually had to listen to the Holy Spirit to get him in the right place at the right time. It's called alignment. How many of you drive cars? You drive a car, raise your hand. How many of you own a car? How many of you own a car that pulls to the right or left when you drive it down the road? It doesn't go straight, it pulls. Come on, raise your hand. All right. Why does it do that? It's out of alignment. When my wife had somebody give her a almost brand new Lexus hybrid. It's an amazing car. Just gave it to her to bless her. And it was a, you know, it's a $65,000-$70,000 vehicle, but it was the first year Lexus made a hybrid, and the batteries were bigger and weightier than they thought. So they would pull the car out of alignment. The batteries would. And it would chew up the tires. The tires for this car were $1,000 a piece. So I got really disturbed every time I had to put new tires on this gift of a vehicle. See, if your life is out of alignment, you can still get where you're going, but it's going to cost you a lot more to get there. And Lexus builds cars that will do just about anything. They have self-backing cars. They have self-braking cars. They have self-parking cars. But they don't have any self-aligning cars. Your life will never align itself. That's why you need relationship. That's why you need to walk with the Holy Spirit, but also walk with other people and listen to them as they help position you. Because to get aligned, you got to go in and have somebody jack you up. Sometimes you got to go to the shop, they got to jack you up and tell you some things you don't want to hear and get you where you need to be. Why? So that you can be more efficient with your life. So sometimes God speaks to us to correct us, not because he's mad at us, but because he loves us so much that he wants us to be in the right position to receive everything that he has for us.
That's good.
So here's what I'm saying. We not only have to receive what he has, but we got to receive the process to get it. Prophecy means process. If God speaks to you about your future, he's not talking to you about what you're going to do. He's talking to you about what he wants you to become. If I were to come to Mercy and say, I just see apples, 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 apples. I don't know why, but I see apples. God's just got apples in your future, and it's all about the apples. And so she just thought, okay, right, God said apples. So I know somebody over here who has an orchard. I'm going to work with them, and I'm a good networker. So then I got somebody who's got trucks over here, and then these people have a shipyard that can ship them all around the world. So I'll get the trucking company to work with the orchard that will pick up the apples and then move them and then get them over to the crates, and then we'll send apples. And she dies 30 years later. She goes to heaven and says, Jesus, I delivered billions of apples around the world. Are you proud of me? And Jesus just looks at her and says, Mercy, all I wanted you to do was be an apple tree. See, he was talking being. She was thinking doing. We're not human doings. We're human beings. And if we become all that God calls us to be, we will do all that God calls us to do. So if she would have just been a healthy apple tree, what would the byproduct have been? Fruit. Apples everywhere.
Yeah.
Fruit. But if she just gets apples in people's hands, she could do what God called her to do without ever becoming what God called her to be. But if you'll be what God called you to be, you will inevitably do what he called you to do. So God is when he's speaking to us, he's talking about the power to become, the power to transform. John 1 says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the mature sons and daughters of God. But we live in a microwave society. I want my, you know, I don't eat McDonald's, but if I do, I only eat it for one reason. It's fast and cheap.
Come on, are you here?
Yep.
You eat McDonald's. You don't eat it for the quality of the nuggets. Chicken nuggets aren't even chicken. They're chicken parts. They're not even parts. They're parts of parts. They're cut up pieces of a chicken. And if you ever seen Food Inc., you know how bad that is.
Oh, God.
You never want to eat chicken again. So you eat McDonald's because it's fast and it's cheap. And most people want their destiny fast and cheap. But listen, guys, preparation time is not wasted time. And right now you're in a season of preparation, but Jesus prepared 30 years for 3.5 years of ministry. We prepare 3.5 years for 30 years of ministry. Who do you think's got it right? So in the season you're in, just embrace and receive God's process over your life. So when he speaks to you about something he wants you to do, just don't think about doing it. Think about, God, what do I have to become? God, make me into that man or woman so that I can be the person that you're speaking of right then. God can promote you in an instant, but it takes him a lifetime to get you ready for your promotion. Most people that are overnight successes, it's been a long night. Why do we not embrace process? Well, one, because we live in a microwave society. We would rather eat McDonald's because it's cheap and fast than eat a gourmet steak at a fine dining restaurant, which is not cheap and is not fast. Some of the best meals I've ever had took a long time to prepare. So God's constantly preparing gourmet meals for you. Give it time to cook. Give God time to get you and it ready for one another. We're also not convinced that the prize is worth the price. See, here's why God gives us prophetic words. Because it's like a trailer to the movie. He's trying to motivate you to get you to go. What do trailers do? They tell you the best parts. If it's a comedy, they put the best jokes in the trailer. Usually by the time you get there, in some movies, you've seen all the funny parts. It's not that way with God, but it is that way with trailers. And so the trailer, the purpose of the trailer is to get you to move. The purpose of prophecy is to get you to move towards your destiny. To get you up and embracing it. Chris and I, my family, all our family, our kids too. I always say Chris and I, and then I think, well, that's silly. We had 3 kids. They went with us. We didn't leave them in America. We all moved to England for 2 years. In 2003, 2004, our kids were pretty small. And so after we moved there, I thought, I'm going to take Chris out on a date. And so we got a baby. We arranged a babysitter, and we went into town. We were living in a place called Lincoln, England. It's a beautiful cathedral city in the northeast corner of England. And so we went into the city center, and they have one movie theater in the whole town of 100,000 or so, University City, one movie theater. And so we went in to go. It's the Odeon, it's called. And so we went to go see whatever the popular movie was, and I walked up and said, I'd like 2 tickets, please. And she said, well, have you booked? I said, no. I want to buy tickets now. She said, well, did you not pre-book your tickets? I said, no, I didn't. She said, well, you won't be seeing, it's sold out. You know, and now you go online and pre-book them, but in 2003 and 2004, very few places did you have to do that. And so I said, well, I'll see this movie. It's sold out. I'll see this one. So everything was sold out. So we didn't go to the movie. So then the next, it was a very popular movie that we wanted to see. So the next night or a couple of nights later, we tried again. And so I called ahead of time and reserved my seats and got my tickets. And I went to go in. And I was so excited about seeing the movie. And I thought, look, we're on a date, so I'll buy Chris some popcorn. So I walked up and said, I'd like some popcorn. They said, would you like sweet or savory? I said, I don't know. I said, I just want popcorn. There's only one kind, isn't there? And they said, no, you can have sweet popcorn or savory popcorn. I said, well, I guess I'll have a bit of both. So they mixed it all together and they gave me this popcorn that was really nasty. And then I said, I want something to drink. Now, I come from the South, and in the South, we drink the nectar of heaven. It's called Dr. Pepper.
Yes.
Can I get a witness? But in England, they did not have Dr. Pepper. They got it later. They bottled it in Ireland, and it tastes like cough syrup. It's very medicinal, I think, but it tastes horrible, so it's not the same. So they found out I like Dr. Pepper, and they give me the wrong kind. But anyway, so I knew they weren't going to have Dr. Pepper, so I thought, well, you know, everything pales in comparison, but I'll have a Coke. So I said, can I have a Coke? They said, we don't have Coke, we have Pepsi. Now, Dr. Pepper is the nectar of heaven. Pepsi is the nectar of Satan. It is terrible. I hate Pepsi. There's only one thing worse than Pepsi, and that is Diet Pepsi. Diet drinks came from the pit of hell. They are Lucifer's venom. Hate Diet drinks. Just saying. I have a theory about them. I'll keep it to myself. Anyway, well, part of it I've kept to myself. Part of it I have not kept to myself. Anyway, so they said, all we have is Pepsi. I said, well, I guess I'll have the nectar of Satan. They said, well, all we have is Diet Pepsi, where the Pepsi machine's out. So we got Diet Pepsi. And then I wanted some M&Ms, and they did have peanut M&Ms. That's the only thing they had that I actually wanted. So I go to check out, and they said, it'll be whatever. And I calculated, because I was paying in pounds, but I earned money in dollars, and back then it was 2 to 1.
Uh-huh.
So
it still was, I think.
It's 1.5 to be exact. But it was 2 to 1 then. And so that their prices are like ours, but then you convert, it's double. So, and they're already high. So it was like 55 pounds. I said, look, I don't want to buy the movie theater. It's like $100-something. And I said, you guys are smoking crack. I'm not buying the Yogi. All I want to do is have the nectar of Satan and salty, sweet popcorn and a few peanut M&Ms. This is insane. And so I sold a vital organ to pay for my nasty popcorn. Got by with keeping all my children, barely. Went in, and then they had reserved seating. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. And there was empty seats all over the place this night. It's packed the other night. There's empty seats everywhere. But they set everybody together. And you had to sit in your seat. And I'm like, I'm an American. We sit wherever we want to. My wife's kicking me, but you're in England. And so I sat there, and then I sat by this lady who talked the whole time. There's nothing worse than being in a great thriller, you know, mind-bending movie, and somebody's going, what happened now? What happened now? I don't care if it is a British accent. It's still bad.
For real.
I'm like, shut up. And I think she spilled Pepsi on me, and you know, it was hilarious. And so I'm fuming, and then we get in the movie, and I don't remember what it was, but I remember at the end I'd forgotten all about it. Huh. All the trouble. And we were talking, and my wife and I were talking, we went out to dinner afterwards, and we were talking about the movie, and all of a sudden she says, Dwayne, you know how mad you were when the movie started? It was worth every bit of it. Mm-hmm. And seeing if I could ever convince you, or if God could ever convince you, that your destiny is worth the price you pay for it, you could change the world. Because the price of greatness is the tolerance for pain. No great person has ever done anything without being able to endure great pain. But the prize is worth the pain. When I was told I'd be a prophet to the nations, they didn't tell me that I was going to have times that I was so absolutely wore out that I didn't know how I was going to get up the next day. that I would preach so many times back to back to back to back to back that I was in Poland one time. I checked in and out of 4 hotels, preached 7 times in 3 different churches in a 24-hour period.
Oh, whoa.
One of the times I was so tired, I was changing my shoes and I couldn't think how to tie my shoes. Mm-hmm. That was never in the prophecy. In Joshua, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. You're going to, everywhere the sole of your foot treads, I'm going to give it to you. Everybody's waving their hanky, running around the building, doing the Jericho march, and nobody's talking about giants. Nobody's talking about the things that are going to happen. Why? Because prophecy is the trailer to get you to go to the movie. Because God knows that at the end, it's worth it. Got to be willing. First, it's got to be revealed. Secondly, it's got to be received. And then thirdly, and I'm done, it's got to be released. Eventually, it will be released. Eventually, you possess that which God promised. Just before I get into that, there's one other thing I was going to say. I don't know if any of you ever bought a car. When you go to buy a car, what's the first thing you want to ask the guy? How much does it cost? Do you notice they never answer that question?
Right.
Not at first. Now, if it's on the sticker or on the window, then you know. But if it's not on the window, if you go to a used car salesman and you pull up to him and say, how much does this cost? He's going to say, let me show you. Uh-huh. And then he's going to show you the leather interior. He's going to show you the amazing stereo system. He's going to show you the engine if he thinks you care about it. He's going to show you, you know, the resale value. What's he doing? He's giving you value over cost. A good salesman never tells you the price until he's convinced you of the value. I believe tonight God wants to show some people some value. The price then doesn't matter. I can tell you story after story after story of the price I paid to do what God's called me to do, but the reward has far outweighed any requirement. And it's not that God brings the pain, but we live in a fallen world and we're God's ambassadors enforcing his victory, and there is an enemy of your soul that hates you. So the price is not what God's asking you to pay, but it's what you will have to pay to see it come to pass. Finally, you begin to walk into your destiny, and you do that by releasing it. You release your destiny several ways, and I won't take time to go over all of them, but just quickly. One, you release it out of your mind. When God spoke to Jeremiah and said, you're going to be a prophet, an angel came to him and said, you're going to be a prophet to the nations, he said, I can't do this. I'm just a child. And God said, don't say, I'm only a child, but you can do everything I tell you to do. Why did God tell Jeremiah, don't say, I'm only a child? Because God's word in Jeremiah's mouth is as powerful as God's word in God's mouth. And God's word over your life only becomes powerful when it comes out of your mouth. So when God starts saying things over you, you need to say what God says. All your life, people have spoke over you and told you you were stupid. They told you you were ugly. They told you you couldn't do this. They told you you were going to be poor. They told you whatever it is. People have spoken things over, negative things over every person in this room's life. But God has spoken some things over your life. And if you'll embrace what he says, you can, and start speaking what he says, you can see what he said over your life come to pass. So to release it, you release it out of your mouth, you release it with your faith, and you release it in your hands and your feet. You begin to go do what God calls. called you to do. You walk in things that he prepared long beforehand. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just close your eyes for a minute? In all of this room, why don't you just ask God for revelation? Why don't you just ask God to reveal himself to you? Just ask him to pull back the curtain of heaven. To take whatever blinders have been holding you back, keeping you from seeing your destiny, and reveal it right now. Just ask the Lord to speak to you right now. Say, God, give me a revelation. This young lady back here in the back row with the glasses on. Just here. What's your name?
Claire.
Claire. You're not one that likes to look for or draw attention to yourself or to make people notice you. But God, there's several words over people. And I started to go to two or three of them, and said, no, go to her first. Because he wants you to know that he notices you. And you stand in no one's shadow where God is concerned other than his. Because you dwell in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty, and you have nothing to fear. And God wants you to know he made you beautiful, and he made you perfect in his eye. And God has an amazing plan for you. And Claire, you'll go to many countries, you'll see many things, you'll help many people. I see you working with orphans. I see you helping the broken and the disenfranchised. And God's going to use you to influence people who make major decisions that will affect lots of kids' lives. So I just bless you, Claire, in Jesus' name. What's your name?
Jasmine.
Jasmine, you have a smile that's contagious. You smile, you just light up a room. And don't let the enemy take your smile away. Because God made you an infectious carrier of his joy. And joy is going to mark your life. You're going to be a person who lives in joy. God wants to show you the difference in joy and happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy is based on the Lord. And so you're going to find your joy in him, and with joy you'll draw from the wells of salvation. So whenever the enemy tries to mess with you, just laugh. Just laugh. Just laugh. Just go in your bedroom, just laugh. I just see you close your door just laughing, 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 laughing. If somebody walked in, they'd think he's crazy. But the Bible says that destruction and famine, I laugh. So you're going to just laugh at the enemy. You're going to see God's goodness in your life over and over and over. What's your name?
Lauren.
Lauren? Came in naturally late, but God wants you to know you're not behind. You're not behind. There could have been a million reasons why you had to come late. I'm not picking on you for being late. But God is saying,
that there's something that you felt like I'm behind schedule. I'm not. Everybody else is ahead of me. God said, no, I've got you on a rhythm I want you on. And watch, I'm going to redeem time in your life. Because right now, I'm busy preparing you for the destiny I have prepared for you. Because you will, you are a world changer. You will be one who transforms communities and societies. You will be one who makes not just a few people, not just dozens, but hundreds and thousands of lives be affected by your life. And it's going to be different than you thought. It's going to be different than you thought. I hear God saying, don't put me in a box. Don't constrict me to your own way of thinking, because I have things I want to do in your life that you have no frame of reference for yet. And I haven't revealed them to you yet because it's not time. It's not your time. God's going to use you to make a lot of money.
You're going to
do well. But he's not giving it to you for you, but you have a generous spirit, and you're going to write some really big checks for some kingdom endeavors. You're going to, I see you funding missions endeavors. I see you paying for churches to be built. I see you building orphanages. I see you funding community developments all across the world. And there will come a day in your life where you give philanthropically to many, many, many different endeavors. It may start with just a few dollars or a few hundred dollars, but one day it'll be hundreds of thousands of dollars because God's got a great destiny on your life in the whole arena of giving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This young man here on the neck of the back row, I guess, there. What's your name? Yeah. Tim, God is about to unfold the word to you like you've never seen it before. You're about to live in an area of revelation where God's going to just pull out the word to you because you have a teaching gift. You have a gift to teach the word. You have a gift to preach the word. You have a gift to expound on the word. And you've got a gift of communication. You have a way that you're going to make people laugh one minute and cry the next. You're going to have people, you have a real gift to move people. There's something in you that can propel people to movement. But the next 24 to 36 months are very important in your life. The habits you set up in studying the Word, reading the Word, listening to the Word, and worship, your devotional habits over the next 2 to 3 years will set the course for the next several decades of your life. So build the right patterns. Root out the things that are not productive. Put in the things that are. This is a year of alignment. This is a season of strategically aligning. And relationships are important because God's going to raise you up to be a role model for a generation. And you're going to break stereotypical molds. You're going to break outside of people's paradigms. And you're gonna be a voice to have many other young men follow in your example of what it means to be a godly father, husband. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What's your name? Not right here. Yeah.
Amanda.
Amanda, you may have just decided to wear that shirt for some random reason, but it's not really random in that you're wearing a camo shirt, and God is going to take you into some places where he hides you from.
for strategic purposes. He's going to take you behind enemy lines, and he's going to use you to blend in and be able to stop the works of darkness in very dark places. You're going to bring light to some very dark places. Also, I like to hunt, and you wear camouflage so that you can hunt. And God's going to take you on a treasure hunt for nuggets in the Word. The Word is about to come alive to you like never before. Man, I just see that all across this group. God wants to give you a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God, a real passion for the Word. There's a generation that has lost the desire and the hunger for the Word, but there's a generation rising up that's going to take it back.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I believe you're a part of that generation. This girl that... Yes. Anna? How old are you, Anna?
21.
When do you graduate?
May 2016.
Are you from here?
I'm from here, actually, yeah.
Okay. Is that close?
It's like 2 hours left.
Okay, so relatively close. What's your major?
Psychology.
I say this with caution, so it can have a lot of application. I think God's going to shift. I don't know if it's your major, but your understanding of what you're going to do with your education. Because you thought, I'm going to do this, but God really has just been trying to get you headed in a certain direction, because there's things he's going to show you that if he had told you in the beginning, it wouldn't have made sense. Does that make sense? And so, between now and when you graduate, God really wants you listening to his voice, learning how to hear the voice of God. You need to get some real strategic mentors that help you learn, that talk to you about how do you hear the voice of God? How do you know the voice of God? How do you balance the voice of God with the Word of God? And all of those things, because hearing God's voice is going to be very important, because you're very prophetic. But your gift of prophecy may not come out in a setting like this as much as it may come out. You're just talking to somebody, and then all of a sudden you just see an answer, and you just begin to share with them, and they just break down crying, and you realize that wasn't me talking, that was God talking. You're going to be a real problem solver. God's going to use you to solve a lot of problems. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray that you'd speak to every person in this room. I just pray that, God, that even tonight you would just open up heaven. Wake some of them up in the nighttime and start speaking to them. Just lay hands on your ears and say, God, open my ears to hear. Just pray that out of your mouth. Say, God, open my ears so that I can hear. God, open my inner man's ears, my spirit man, so that I can hear. Lay hands on your eyes and say, God, open my inner man's eyes so that I can see.
Open my inner man's eyes so I can see.
Give me a revelation, God. Or just lay hands on your heart and say, God, open my spiritual heart to receive. I have one last word, and then I'm going to hand it back to Mike. Danny, it was no accident that you volunteered first.
Because God's going to have you go first a lot.
Yep.
He's going to have you go first a lot. And there's going to be things you volunteer for that nobody else will volunteer for, but after they see the example of your life, they're gonna, there were people sitting here thinking, well, I wish I'd have raised my hand first. I really need $20. I really use $20 tonight. And that's going to be the story of your life. But also, there is something prophetic about you saying, I feel bad taking it. God's going to give you some things that are so mind-blowing. In your natural mind, you're going to think, I really feel bad taking it. But I hear God saying, don't feel bad. I prepared it for you to give. And it would be more offensive if you didn't take it than if you did. And pay your tithes on the $20.
Can we give Dwayne?